something that everybody should really think about as they think about, well, how are we going to do AI? AI is the second step. The first step is getting digital, because you can't use AI unless your stuff is digital. So if you think about a pragmatic roadmap, it's get digital, get all that stuff out of Excel sheets and paper, and build those workflow processes.
Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. Welcome to our show where we're talking with business leaders who are transforming the future of manufacturing. Today, I'm speaking with Michael Lynch. He's the CEO of Praxi, which is an AI-powered software platform that automates business processes with pre-configured applications, as well as offering custom solutions. Now, you may recognize Praxi, and that's because it's used by many manufacturers to transform their operations. So I'm really excited for this conversation because it means that we get to learn from Michael's experience working with a variety of manufacturing organizations. You know, what are the latest trends, what's working, and really how to take your operations to the next level. So let's go ahead and jump in. Michael, thank you so much for joining the show.
Happy to be here, Carrie. Super fun.
Awesome. Well, let's start by getting to know you. Can you tell us about yourself and your background?
I have the most unmanufacturing background you probably ever heard of. I went to New York after high school and learned how to sing and dance and did a bunch of Broadway shows. And then I was on soap operas and a couple of TV shows. And then I got into making computer games, which got me into 3D, which got me into 3D solid modeling, which got me into manufacturing. So that's the crazy background. My last company, we sold to SAP. And then I ran their Internet of Things Industry 4.0 group for a few years prior to starting Praxi.
That's a really fascinating background. I mean, I think it just goes to show, you know, like what curious and creative people can achieve in their careers, like so many paths.
Yeah, we were talking about before we started the kids and, you know, and everybody's going to live longer. So I think we're all going to have six or eight different careers. You should just enjoy them each, you know, for what fun they have.
So true. So what brought you to Praxi?
Well, so basically when working at SAP and working in lots of manufacturing plants, what we saw was that there were core applications, you know, ERP, MES systems, et cetera. And then there was just a mountain of Excel sheets and analog documents and whiteboards and, you know, huddle boards with sticky notes on them. And people were trying to implement best practices in ways that worked for their manufacturing company specifically, but they couldn't find software to do it that way because their sort of process was unique. And so everybody kind of reverts to Excel. The alternatives are to kind of have your IT department build something. And every IT department I've been at is overwhelmed. They don't have lots of bandwidth to build lots of new things. Or you know, go to a big software company or a custom software development firm. It's very expensive. And so we built Praxi as a digital transformation platform. It has AI backbone in it. I'll talk about that. But basically, if you think about it as a lean transformation, so all of the stuff that's done in Excel, the work order scheduling, Kanban, you know, 8D processes, Gemba processes, 5S processes, Lean Six Sigma stuff, all of that stuff we turn into one unified platform application set. So we digitally transform the plant around their core applications and interact with them. And so you can get all that benefit that you're getting in your software from and get out of all that Excel and paper.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some types of companies that you work with? Or like, what are the types of customers that would use Praxi?
Well, it goes, I would say, discrete and process manufacturers. Discrete manufacturers who, you know, complex equipment, bills and material, we do work construction work. And so I would say those kinds of discrete manufacturers, but we're also working with process manufacturers because they have some of the same stuff. You'll see everywhere, if you go to any shop floor, you'll see just tons of Excel and that going on. And we're you know, digital transformation is partially getting out of the Excels and really digitally transforming the platform, but it's also the human aspect. So we also do a lot of work, you know, helping do the change management of teams across the process as well. And we also work with a lot of independent contractors who do that work as well.
Interesting. You know what? I kind of feel like we sort of glossed over your transition from a Broadway to video games. And I keep thinking about that. I have to go back to that. So what brought you to video games after? Was it just like a hobby that you had, or?
No, it's really interesting. So this is going to sound very like otherworldly. I was sitting backstage in my dressing room in Les Miserables. If you've ever seen Les Miserables, played Marius, which is it's the second lead. He sings, "There's a grief that can't be spoken." He sings this whole like thing about his dead friends and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sitting backstage and I'm reading, this is how old I am. I'm reading a magazine, and the cover of the magazine was Time Magazine. It said, "The Coming Internet Revolution." And it was talking about the internet. It was right when the internet started, and they were viewing it as 500 TV channels. Like, they didn't really quite get what was happening. But I was looking at that, and I had already felt like I'd kind of done what I had decided to do on, you know, getting to be able to perform, et cetera. And I was like, this is awesome. What's coming? I got to get out to California. So I went to California and basically walked into a computer gaming company because I didn't want to spend my own money starting a company because I didn't know anything yet. And started at that company, and we were able to take the company public. And so I lucked out. I was kind of a grunt that worked my way up, but I lucked out watching the entire process of fundraising and building a company, all that kind of stuff. So I have no MBA or no background in manufacturing or not. I mean, basically I've learned it as I worked at each of these companies and made a lot of mistakes. And so that's how the transition happened. And leaving show business was kind of interesting and difficult because I thought, like, you know, your whole world would be different because I'm an artsy person. But the reality is, what I found is that everybody's really interesting and creative. You know, this is, the world's full of interesting and creative people. So that's how the transition got made, and haven't looked back, and having had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Oh, because I was curious, what are some of the skills that would translate? But to your point, I mean, a lot of people are just creative and interesting, and we all lead interesting lives. So yeah.
Well, my mom was I think her actual job title was computer at White Sands Missile Base when I was a kid. And so there was a lot of math around. So I always had to do math. Not that I'm great at math, but I, you know, like Excel and all the kinds of stuff you do in business was very second nature to me. And so, but I think you're right. Like, anybody out there who's trying to figure out and change careers, I think, you know, throw yourself into the middle of it and you'll find your way.
Yeah. I'm so glad. Okay, we had to go back to that because it was just so interesting. Yes. Okay. Well, so, you know, on this show, we do like to explore all types of technologies in manufacturing. And of course, you had mentioned AI being a part of Praxi and the platform that you offer to your customers that you work with. So really curious about then, you know, speaking of those epiphany moments when you're looking at a magazine and the internet revolution.
AI
first.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So when did you first think about AI in terms of manufacturing and applying that to manufacturing processes?
Well, I think it's really interesting. Like in your introduction where you say Praxi is an AI-powered platform, I think everybody who hears that goes, what is that, right?
Yeah.
Because what I found is that most people that I've encountered in manufacturing are like most people in business. They're trying to figure out how to use AI. Like, what is it and how do we use it? And so when I view Praxi, I think AI, I don't think of us as an AI platform. I think AI is embedded in a digital transformation and lean transformation platform.
Good point. So,
I think AI is a core thing that's going to be embedded in lots and almost every, it's like the internet. It's like going to be in everything, right? You see it invading Microsoft Office now and the internet browsers and all that kind of stuff, which is fantastic. But like, how do we think about it in terms of manufacturing? Like everybody, you know, we first started encountering it a few years ago when Siri came out and all those kinds of things. And then the chatbots, and then the change to the large language models really made all the difference. Because when I was working at SAP, we were doing vibration analysis and sort of traditional AI on traditional problems that were in manufacturing. The large language models have really transformed what we can do with AI. And so Praxi means the practical application of knowledge. It comes from the Greek word praxis, but it's pronounced in some European language, Praxi. And so that's where we got the name. And so when you think of how do you practically apply artificial intelligence, I think that's the core question that most manufacturers are asking themselves. So what we did is in the context of Aurora platform, which says any sort of process, you got wire sticking all out of it in your manufacturing environment, whether that be, you know, just something simple like your SQDC stand-up boards or your Gemba watch or whatever, those processes can be digitized. That's the first step. And you can't Something that everybody should really think about as they think about, well, how are we going to do AI? AI is the second step. The first step is getting digital because you can't use AI unless your stuff is digital. So if you think about a pragmatic roadmap, it's get digital, get all that stuff out of Excel sheets and paper and build those workflow processes, and Praxi is a platform that can help you with that. The next step, and this is how we dealt with AI, is you can think about AI in two terms, horizontal and vertical. Horizontal is kind of using the smarts that's out on the internet. So what we did is we built AI into the workflow systems of our platform. So what that means is any process that we build, we can embed a massive intelligence into. So if I'm doing a Gemba walk and I'm going around and I'm identifying issues that need to be addressed, I can then hit a button and send that out to the horizontal large language models on the internet and say, what do you think about these problems? And it'll come back with a whole bunch of suggestions of what you might think about trying to do against these problems. Now, your team might have some of those, but data we've looked at said AI is about two times as creative as the average person, right? So it'll come back with ideas you hadn't thought of. And then you can edit that and you could say, great, and hit a button and it'll generate a project plan for you that you can then assign to your team. And then you can roll up all of your Gemba walks and say, what's the status of my Gemba walks? And generate an executive summary with images and charts of how you're doing across these issues you're trying to address. So it's a very practical way to embed a greater or more broad sort of intelligence into sort of problem solving at the point of work. And, you know, every plan I've been at, you know, they don't have extra people. So making those people as productive as possible is critical. So that's the first part. Then the verticalized part is how you take the data that exists in the environment and use it to find insight and find problems, et cetera. And so we're working on those problems where we're taking the databases that exist in the system and actually vertical doing AI analysis on them and try to identify, you know, core root causes of problems and things like that. And then from there, create project plans to go address them with best practices.
All of this, I mean, I can definitely see how this would generate some really great results for the company, but I can imagine it's just difficult to get started. And like you said, being really practical and pragmatic about how you're taking on these kinds of technologies, what are some challenges that you see companies face when they're even thinking about going digital? Maybe they're not there yet. And then also when they get to that second phase, that they're thinking about incorporating AI, what are some things that they have to overcome and how do you recommend they deal with those?
Yeah, so going digital, I think digitization and, you know, manufacturing digitization has been around. I mean, I've been doing it for 10, 15 years now. But digital transformation was the number one term at SAP 10 years ago. The problem is that there are two big issues. One is, if you want to take your entire manufacturing plant or series of plants and digitize them completely, the issues I talked about are the main barrier, cost and time. Like, what's the infrastructure you're going to use? Well, you could go with a big software provider, but if you try to digitize everything on the back of a big software provider, one, it'll take forever, and two, it's incredibly expensive. So use the big software providers for what they're good at, which is what everybody does, and then they go to Excel. That's how it works. I've been in all these plants. That's exactly how it works. And all the people listening will probably go, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So the first thing, is, and this is what we were trying to address with Praxi. The first thing was, how do you create a simple platform that makes it as easy to build enterprise software as kind of PowerPoint? And so we designed this platform so we could very rapidly, and we've got some very secret sauce that allows us to not have a lot of the problems of normal software development. And so we can build out full infrastructures very, very quickly. And that means we can do it very inexpensively. So the cost to getting digital is the first step. We address that in the speed at which you can do it. The second is the human aspect. So if I came in with a solution from a big software provider that had all the interfaces to digitize everything in your plant in a way that wasn't the way your team did it, even though it would work, no one would adopt it. And so the other part we identified was that really you have to get the team on board to build the process in a digital way. So we work closely with teams and adopt their method. So for instance, if they have a spreadsheet process or a form-based process they use and they like, we just digitize that. So it's just a digital version of exactly what they're used to working with versus here's this great new piece of software that you have to learn, which nobody wants to do, right?
Right.
So getting the human aspect on, and then the third part is the coaching and support and change management to help them all the way. So the biggest, you know, thing, as you said, is how do I get started? It all sounds so giant and scary. And what we tend to do is start with something really simple, like turning their huddle boards digital. And everybody's used to that process and they're all trying to do basic lean management and safety, quality, delivery, et cetera, and track those core metrics. And so we just do those things very basically. And then because the platform is expandable to basically any digital process you want, we then can start expanding. And then once you're doing that, you can add AI and make the process better than the process you had on paper.
That makes sense. Now, when I am speaking with you know, a lot of business leaders, they're deeply concerned, and rightfully so, I think, about data, the quality of data, the accuracy of their data. consolidating data from multiple sources, how do you recommend they approach just getting the data that they need in order to apply AI?
You have to get it into a single. Now, the cleanliness of it will affect the quality of the outcome. And mm-hmm. So there are lots of data cleansing tools. We're not a data cleansing tool company, but there are lots of data cleansing tools. And then there are, you know, the big players like Snowflake and others where you can drop the data in and do analysis on the data. Mm-hmm. So I think those tools, those are generally tools of people who are already going, already quite digital. Mm-hmm. I think there's a massive amount of people and companies, mid-sized companies, $2 to $500 million companies or larger, that are using ERP and they're using MES systems. And then outside of that, maybe they got some quality, maybe they got some warehouse management, but outside of that, it's very undigital. Mm-hmm. So I think the way for them to do, and from a security standpoint, is to try to aggregate that data. What we provide in Praxi is we can aggregate that data as well as surround it with all the other aspects and then create a data lake structure that they can then interrogate with AI. But it really depends on where you are, on how digital you are and how big a company you are with your data structures. I would think the bigger companies are going to people like Snowflake and AWS to try to create those data lakes and data warehouses to interrogate.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it just always seems to come up. And that's really fascinating. Like you said, there's a need for data cleansing, governing to secure the information. And there are some great tools out there that, okay, great. Let's talk about results, the ROI for incorporating these types of technologies. What are some of the maybe efficiencies or productivity gains? You kind of mentioned some of this when you were speaking about what you've seen companies. With the AI, but what are some examples of some of the ROI or the return that you've seen?
Well, some examples of the things that you can do and the productivity gains of them. So, and I'll try to use an example that has AI involved in it. So you might be at a manufacturer, let's say a process manufacturer, and they're running bottles, et cetera, and those are going through the blower and then getting filled, et cetera. And you can track the scrap and you can track the error codes, right? This is standard stuff. But what we can do now is we can then design custom interfaces that allow that error code to show. It allows messages to go to the management. It allows AI to bring up all of the work instructions that are tied to that code and also go out to the internet model and say, have you tried all of this stuff? You can then have the operator check off that they try the 4 or 5 things before they call maintenance. What they do generally now is they call maintenance. The line is down. Maintenance comes when they can because there's always, you know, they get there as quick as they can. They're usually amazing. But the point being is that the line is down versus letting the person use the AI and use the instructions and the amelioration issues that they can address before they do that. And that can give you, you know, 10, 15% uptime improvement, lower scrap. So those are the kinds of things that if you build a digital process, and that kind of a process is usually digital, but it's usually digital at the PLC or at the workstation versus an integrated thing that's sending messages and getting management and dealing with maintenance to come. Other ones, you know, would be things like, you know, automatic work instructions thing at the point of work, suggestions on how to address issues in 5S or 8D processes or Gemba walks, as I was mentioning. And those, you know, across the board, the research I've looked at, each customer will have a different thing, but digital transformation should drive about, you know, 10 to 15% overall gain in productivity, you know, profitability, et cetera. It's a very big improvement because it's quite intuitive when you look at any sort of software package. You know, what's the productivity in an ERP, you know, system to give you your bill of materials and your warehouse information versus trying to do it on a spreadsheet? Well, it's gigantic. That is also true of every single process you're running in these manual ways. Yeah. So you should be able to get 10 to 15% productivity gain. And then the data on AI, you can ask AI. It's funny, I went into some AI chatbots and said, what's the productivity gains that you should get at a manufacturer or in company for adding AI to your digital transformation? And they said 5 to 7% additional.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know where they get that.
Yeah, where did that come from?
It's logical because if you're at the point of work getting that support, then the turnaround time should shrink, et cetera. But I don't know what study they were referencing on that. But those are the kinds of things that you can do. And the other things that I've seen in digital transformation is, let's say all of these processes are rolling up to a command center, the Japanese word, the Obeya room, where you're actually seeing all this stuff. A lot of companies will have a BI tool that's giving them some of the data on the machine throughputs and some of the core KPIs. But if you think about all of your other processes that you're trying to drive, your lean processes, your process improvement, all that's rolling up, you not only can see the data, if everything is digitized correctly, you can then track the execution of the control plans of what's going on with your P themas or any other type of control plan that you're running against your lean processes. So what that means is that you're not only seeing the data, you're taking action on it and you're tracking the action on it. So if you think about that at across the plant level, the productivity gain or the process improvement is actually happening. Yeah, the return can be very big.
So excellent metrics. There's a lot of promise here. If somebody's listening in and they're thinking, man, I could really use that in my business, what are some of the things that when you are going to go work with maybe a company that is just starting on their journey, or maybe they're somewhere in their journey and they want to take it to the next level, what are some indicators within their business that would show them like, hey, there's some great opportunity here if you were to go down this digital path? Is it like just a proliferation of Excel spreadsheets? Is it a lot of manual work? What would you say to somebody listening in, you know, what their business might look like that would make them a great candidate for starting something like this?
Yeah, I think lots of manual work, lots of Excel sheets and communications for core stuff like work orders, changes, all this being handled in email. That's a really clear indicator. People are sending emails and saying, yeah, we got this new order. Can you move this to the top of the line of the testing you're doing, or et cetera, et cetera. If that's going on, then there's a massive opportunity. The second part I would say is, you know, as we talk about, the biggest part is fear. Like, this is giant, it's expensive, it's going to take forever. And so the simple thing to just start with was, you know, the SQDC, the core 5 or 7 metrics you want off your shop floor. But the other one I would say is, if you don't have visibility, like if you can't tell what your scrap rates are, if you can't tell what your priorities are from your work orders through your engineering department or your product department or et cetera, et cetera. If you don't have visibility into the core things that you need to have visibility into, that's another one that's just like, you could be wasting lots and lots of money and not know it. And the plant could be much more efficient, much more profitable. But I would say start very simply with those kind of key core KPIs in an SQDC environment with a platform like, you know, I mean, what we offer is that you can then just build on that over time. And as you grow in your digital transformation journey, you don't have to try to hodgepodge other tools together.
Mm-hmm. Great insights. So thinking about the future, what's next? What's after an AI-powered business platform? You know, what are some of the technologies that you're excited about when you look out there as to what's coming?
So the company I sold to SAP, where I ended up doing the Internet of Things, there was a 3D platform. And, you know, Mark Zuckerberg went and he changed the name of the company to Meta to make us all 3D people. And it's really kind of funny to me because we were doing very similar work 15 years ago. And there's some core problems with people running around as avatars. People don't like it. It's not natural. But the promise of an augmented and virtual environment on top of the manufacturing is probably the next generation of stuff we'll see. And what I mean by that is using computer vision to identify what's going on in the plant and to think about, you know, that same issue where if a plant seeing, if you're walking through a line and you see these very dirty workstations, the AI might say, you might try a 5S process. Here's some resources for you. I mean, you could become a much better manager or execution lead if you had augmented capability talking to you. Now you might have to dial it down and there's some interface things there, but far more interesting than having little avatars running around in virtual meetings going, hey, Jen, how was your lunch? You know, it's just not that useful. So that kind of stuff. The other thing, computer vision going after, the simplest one was a Google AI was used, I think, to do a pickle sorting solution where it was going through and it was identifying based on the computer vision, the issues going on. I've seen companies that are doing computer vision to make sure that the product is assembled correctly to minimize errors. I think those are very point solutions, but I think if you think out 15 or 20 years where our ability to map three-dimensional environments as we walk through them and gain insight from what the AI is seeing is going to be really, really powerful.
That's really fascinating. And I agree. I mean, I think it'll be so much more pragmatic, speaking of praxy. And actually, that takes us to advice, practical advice. What would you share with listeners who might be leading their manufacturing businesses? They want to take it to the next level. You know, what advice would you pass on to them? And it could be really anything from maybe the challenges that you've already helped other business leaders solve to taking that next jump in your career, if it's going to be something so different from what you're currently doing now. Yeah, what advice would you share?
Well, the first one is really simple, call praxy. No, I'm just kidding. As I said, sort of start simply and realize it's a journey combination of the technology platform and human transformation. Realize both of those are just as important and that there's somewhat of a coaching thread either internally or with your vendor so that you have the human change management going on the entire time. As far as jumping careers, you know, I have such a weird background. Like, I became a vice president in a company because I walked in and I said, here's the six problems you have, and I'll take them on if you make me vice president. And the CEO goes, done, go, get out of my office.
So, that's bold.
Right. So my point is just go for it. I mean, I was doing Broadway stuff. I broke into lots of auditions where I wasn't on the list and said, I'm here to sing. And the director goes, oh, okay. Because so few people will actually do that because it's scary. You get thrown out of the room sometimes, right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
If you're okay with that, you're like, well, it was worth a shot, you know?
I guess the first time you get thrown out, you learn.
I tried to audition for Rent. And I walked in, I go, the guy won't let me, your casting director won't let me come in. Would you please see me? And he goes, get out. I trust my casting director.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes that happens. You go, you know, but
if you didn't try, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. It's 100% fail if you don't walk in the room and ask.
Yeah. I love it. Well, this is so good. This is wonderful advice. Really great to just learn about you and your path and Praxi, of course. So if anybody listening in wants to learn more about you or about your organization, where would you point them?
They come to praxi.com, and there's a praxie.com. There's a set up a demo button on the top. My email is michael.lynch@praxi.com, L-Y-N-C-H. So you can email me directly and would love to talk with you.
Wonderful. Well, was there anything that we didn't get to cover that you wanted to share?
The only thing I would say is the coolest thing, you know, manufacturing is coming back to the country and I'm super excited. It's, you know, it's a great opportunity for us, but you know, for young people, I think it's not a career that lots of them go, hey, this is, it's really cool. I mean, I got guitars, I sing, you know, I did Broadway. I'm telling you, it's really cool. So I would say, you know, get involved in it because it's a very cool environment and all the people I've met in it are fantastic.
I couldn't agree more. I love what I do. I love talking with folks like you, you know, what you're seeing in the industry. It's so dynamic. It's changing all the time. And it's really fascinating. And for people who are just like authentically curious, I can't imagine a better place.
Yeah. And I think it's a great, you know, as the dynamics of the world, I think it's a great career in the United States and North America in general.
I agree. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Michael.
I really enjoyed it.
Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you. All right. Well, that was Michael Lynch, the CEO of Praxi, a leading provider of AI-powered software solutions. Thank you so much. And to everyone listening in, thank you for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.